Joel chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Don't be like the hypocrites. That's what Jesus says to us in today's gospel. Don't be like the hypocrites. Of course, I doubt any of us have that as our goal. I bet not even a single one of us, as a child, said, Mommy, when I grow up, I want to be a hypocrite. For all of the changes in values and morality that have taken place in my lifetime, and their number is legion, hypocrisy is still considered a bad thing. Don't be like the hypocrites. Jesus didn't teach this because people were saying that they wanted to be hypocrites. He taught it because they, and we, are tempted to behave hypocritically. Which one of us doesn't want to look good, doesn't want to have the approval and respect of others? Not a one, I would guess. But that's the problem Jesus is pointing out. We are tempted to practice our righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. That is, not because it's a godly thing to behave righteously, not because we fear, love, and trust in God above all things, but for the purpose of gaining approval and respect for ourselves from others. That's not the road to righteousness. That repeats the sin Jesus condemned in the Pharisees. They were like whitewashed tombs, he said, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. And who isn't implicated by Jesus' words? God commands, "You shall not murder." But if looks could kill, or the attitude of your heart or words from your lips, you would be guilty of murder many times over. And the scriptures make clear that you break the commandments not just by what you do, but by your attitude and your thoughts as well. In other words, you are guilty of murder. God commands you shall not commit adultery. If the words of your mouth, or even worse, the imaginations of your heart, were evident to everyone here today, as evident as the nose on your face, you would be too ashamed to ever show your face here again. Jesus said that to look at another with lust is to commit adultery in your heart. The one who says that his or her heart is pure in this regard is a liar. God commands you shall not steal. We break this commandment in so many ways, it's hard to know where to start. But perhaps we need only think of how others have stolen from us, and then look in the mirror and see whether we haven't done the same. It's so easy to recognize sin in all its vileness when you're the one who's been wronged. But how do you fare when you use that very same standard to examine your own thoughts and actions? God commands you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This is one commandment where you can't hide your offense. A jury of your peers, colleagues, family members, acquaintances, instructed in only the briefest explanation of this commandment. We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but rather defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. A jury of your peers with this instruction would not have to deliberate at all before returning the verdict, guilty. She's damaged the reputation of others. He's failed to defend and speak well of others. I could keep on going and consider each of the other commandments, but the picture wouldn't change. Whatever the outward appearance, like the Pharisees Jesus condemned, inside you and I are full of dead people's bones and all sorts of uncleanness. That's because out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. It doesn't do you any good to make a show of your piety, your gifts to the needy, or prayers, or fasting. You'd only be acting for the audience around you. If you're a good enough actor, you might impress them, but not God. He knows an act from the real deal. What you may be able to shield from everyone else's view, God knows. He can discern the thoughts and intentions of your heart. So where does that leave you? There's only one answer. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord with all your heart. Return to the Lord your God, not because by doing so you will somehow earn his favor. You can't do enough cleaning in your putrid heart to make it pure before God. Rather, return to the Lord your God because he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He, and he alone, is able to wash you thoroughly from your iniquity and cleanse you from your sin. Though your sins are like scarlet, he can make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, he can make them become like wool. He can create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you. He can, and he has, and he does. In love, Jesus gave himself up for you, died for your sin on a cross, so that he might sanctify you, having cleansed you by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present you to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, so that you might be holy and without blemish. In holy absolution, he comes to all those who repent, who despair of their sinfulness, and know they cannot free themselves from their sinful condition. To those who are helpless before him, who can only plead, "Lord, have mercy," the cry of a beggar, he says through his servants, "I forgive you all your sins." And when he speaks, it is so. Your sins are forgiven you. But he doesn't stop there. Jesus also invites you to the table where he is both host and feast. He feeds you with his true body, given for you. He gives you in the cup the New Testament in his blood, which he shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. So then, knowing that you daily sin much, and indeed deserve nothing but punishment, return to the Lord your God in repentance and trust, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. In his Son, Jesus Christ, God has answered for your sin. He washed you clean in the water of holy baptism. By his word and in the supper, he continues to forgive and strengthen you. According to his gifts, just as he has promised, you have a new heart and an inheritance in heaven. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.